For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
The answer has grown round and wondrous Dharma. Even 100,000 million kalpas, now I can see and hear it, accept and maintain it. May I unfold the meaning of the Tathagata truth.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we are in the middle of session, or actually the beginning morning of the third day of the three-day session, and also the last day of the practice commitment period. So I want to talk today about the mysterious pivot. But just to review what we've been talking about the last couple days of this session, which has been wonderful, really settled, calm, steady, quiet, upright. So we started talking about Zazen as an opportunity for settling, for calm, steadiness, for taking the backward step that turns the light inwardly to illuminate ourselves, as Dogen says. So this basic calm, Hongsha, who we've been studying this practice period, or using as an inspiration of this practice period, talks about serenity. Finding our calm steadiness in the midst of this difficult life and difficult world sometimes. So, this mysterious pivot, sometimes it's called the jade pivot, or the jade machine, even. We've been chanting, and we will chant later this morning, the guidepost for silent illumination. Mongsha says in this vision, penetrating into subtle radiance, is weaving gold on a jade loom. And that character for loom also means a machine or an opportunity. So, subtle radiance is what we are, what we is, as we settle. We can hear the subtle radiance all around us that, as Hongsha says, has been here from the very beginning. And as I said yesterday, it's even before the beginning. So this is not about discovering something new. It may be new to us, but it's about settling into what is already. So this mysterious pivot is about finding Osho says, upright and inclined, yield to each other. Light and dark are interdependent. So this pivot is this wonderful, radiant opportunity to open up into what's sometimes called silent illumination or serene illumination, this calming, this serenity, and also this insight, this uprightness, and then we also incline towards all of the phenomena in our dusty world. How do we appreciate this mysterious pivot? It's not exactly that we need to do something about it. We're so conditioned by our culture to try and fix things and acquire things and accumulate commodities or whatever. This is something deeper. It's something, not something we do. It's something that we observe, feel, sense, see with our ears, hear with our eyes, not being caught up in sights and sounds. But yeah, here we are. This is the mysterious pivot of our life, upright and inclined. Well, we, you know, lots of ways to talk about it, none of which are actually exactly it, of course. But this ultimate universal reality and our particular world of habits and tendencies and so forth that we get caught up in. And also that given Bodhisattva vow, which is the basis of this practice, that we incline towards, that we actually care about taking care of our world. Taking care of our lives. Taking care of our bodies and minds. Taking care of our friends and family and sangha, neighborhood. As wide as you want to see your neighborhood. So, and Hongzhi in this guidepost for serene illumination says, if illumination neglects serenity, then aggressiveness appears. So they're not separate, actually. This settling allows insights to arise. The sixth ancestor talks about it in the sutra. But if we get too stuck on one side or the other, we can get off balance. We can lose this mysterious pivot. If illumination neglects serenity, aggressiveness appears. But if serenity neglects illumination, murkiness can lead to wasted dharma. We can waste this wonderful opportunity of this teaching. So yesterday we did a meditation on space, and actually also on time. And seeing spaciousness and seeing how right now in this being time, all times, is here. And when we sit upright, like Buddha, even for a little bit, Dogen says, all of space awakens. That's such a strange thing to actually really consider. So we focus within, and out of that comes awareness, comes expression, comes sharing, comes creativity. How do we, so Hongzhi talks a lot about response, mutual response. This is sort of what Dogen is talking about when he says when we sit, even a little bit, the whole world awakens. There's this mutual responsiveness. This responsibility, this ability to respond between us and the world. And the world informs us, nature informs us. Walking in the nature area enriches us, soothes us. And the nature area is, you know, right in the middle of a busy city like Chicago. There are trees outside, full canopies of leaves, trees. There are birds singing all around us. There are cats on the Zoom screen. Nature is in this room. Nature is not something out there. How do we appreciate this mysterious pivot, this jade pivot, this synchronicity between settling and insight? Between the space, pivot between the space between our shoulders, or the space between our ears, and the space from here to the Great Lake Michigan, or whatever is around you in New Mexico or Michigan or Ontario. Or I think there's someone here from Italy. So we've been reading these practice instructions from Hongzhi Zhangzhui from a long time ago. 1100s, 1200 years from now. And as I said yesterday, can we imagine the people walking by on Lincoln or Lawrence or Giddings 1200 years from now? Can we support them? 1200 years from now is what I'm bad at math. The years. The year 3523, is that right? Can you imagine the year 3523? Anyway, as I've mentioned a number of times, one of my favorite, of the many favorite practice instructions from Hongzhi, it says to graciously share yourself. And the beginning of this is a little funny. He says, in the great rest and great halting, lips become moldy, and mountains of grass grow on your tongue. He's talking about sesshin, or monastic practice. Just stopping, sitting silently. And look straight ahead beyond this, totally let go. Washed clean. Respond with brilliant light to such unfathomable depths as the waters of autumn, or the waters in the spring, or the moon stamped in the sky. I love that, the moon stamped in the sky. That's not how we usually think of it. We, you know, science teaches us that there's this spherical thing called the moon circling us. But when we look up and see the full moon, it's stamped in the sky. Wow. Okay. He says, then you must know there is a path on which to turn yourself around. So, this has to do with this mysterious pivot. We turn around. We turn within. We find our own inner calmness and settledness and quietness. Enjoy our inhale and enjoy our exhale. Face the wall. Face the sounds. See the sounds around us. Hear the texture of the wall. It says this is penetrating from the topmost all the way down to the bottom. When we investigate our roots, we can go back to their ultimate source. I like that because that's what Taigen means, according to the teacher. So, in wonder, return to the journey. So, this is wonderful. And we all know about all the horrible things in the world. We don't ignore that. We don't forget that. We don't neglect that. We know about all the difficulties in our own lives. And we don't ignore that either. We face that. With whatever calmness or serenity is possible. Again, Suzuki Roshi talked about, a teacher's teacher talked about losing our balance against the background of perfect balance. So this uprightness is this perfect balance, this ultimate reality. And yeah, we lose our balance. We get swayed to one side or another of the mysterious pivot. And then we can come back and settle again. Hongzhi says, in wonder, return to the journey, avail yourself of the path and walk ahead. With 100 grass tips in the busy marketplace, graciously share yourself. This is the inside of incline. There's some Tibetan people with Tibetan experience here. There's a wonderful book by a Tibetan teacher. I can't remember the name exactly, but it's something about graciously inclined. Anyway. So graciously share yourself. So this, as we're talking about how Zazen is a creative practice. Zazen is supports all our creative activities. So we have here therapists and librarians and hospice workers and philosophers and teachers and dancers and attorneys and gardeners. All of that creative activity and creative practice relationships and child caring. All of that is part of our Zazen, but also in our Zazen, we are expressing Buddha. We are sharing Buddha. We are sitting like Buddha, upright. And inclined. So this Zazen is kind of a performance art. The performing Buddha on our seats. And Sesshin is a performance art. Together as Sangha, we are supporting each other. People have different parts of different positions. Working in the kitchen, greeting people coming in, hitting the bells, helping lead the chants, serving meals. All of this is graciously sharing ourselves. All of this is creative performance of Buddha. Now, can we feel going for a walk as a creative act? How can we feel washing the dishes as a creative act? How can we see driving as a creative act, or riding as a passenger as a creative act? All of this is expressing Buddha. We don't have to think about it that way. It's not about thinking that. It's just when we settle, when we have this experience of calm and insight, of settledness and spaciousness, and when we sustain this practice over time, especially, we're expressing this, we're performing all of this. And it's true that sometimes we have dramatic experiences of the bottom of the bucket falling out, is the traditional expression, where just everything opens up. And so there are people here who've had such experiences. And that's wonderful. And but don't hold on to it. You can't do that. The world is moving. The planet is rotating. I think that's how we all understand it now. So just enjoy this mysterious pivot. It is mysterious. We can't get a hold of it, but there's this shifting between turning within and settling and generosity, being kind to all around us and to ourselves too. It looks it's a mysterious pivot. How do we recognize it and support it, and let it support us? It's precious, this jade pivot. So Hongzhi was an important influence on Dogen, who brought this tradition of what we call Soto Zen from China to Japan. So I wanted to share few lines from Dogen. And Dogen, of course, in our whole tradition, stresses the importance of the Bodhisattva vow, which we'll chant at the end of this, that we are not practicing just for ourselves. Of course, ourselves is included in all being, but we take the Bodhisattva vow to benefit all being. So we are practicing for the benefit of everyone we know, everyone we've ever known or will know, all the suffering beings, all the joyful beings, all the beings who are romping and playing in samadhi or otherwise. How do we graciously share ourselves? So about this, one of my many favorite parts of Dogen's extensive record, he says, the family style of all Buddhas and ancestors, so this isn't just the Soto family style, this is the family style of all Buddhas and all ancestors, is first, arouse the vow to save all living beings by removing suffering and providing joy. This is a joyful practice. It also is a practice that sometimes is painful. They're not separate. Removing suffering, providing joy. Yeah, I just remember the Tibetan book reference that is about the inclined is kindly bent to ease us. Yeah, that's title of that. Who is it?
Longchenpa.
Longchenpa, yes, great Longchenpa. Yeah, thank you. So, our practice is to save all living beings. Sometimes people don't like this word save in Buddhist context. We say free all. Okay, either way. Well, this is a liberative practice. We free all living beings. We save all living beings. We free all living beings. All beings, everyone. Even the people we think we don't like. By removing suffering and providing joy, only this family style, Dogen says, is inexhaustibly bright and clear. In the lofty moon in the lofty mountains, we see the moon for a long time. As clouds clear, we first recognize the sky, cast loose down the precipice. Moonlight shares itself and within the 10,000 forms. So here Dogen is echoing Hongzhe's wonderful nature metaphors that we've talked about and enjoyed this practice period. Only this Buddhist style is inexhaustibly bright and clear. In the lofty mountains, we see the moon for a long time. And that's true. If you go up in the mountains and practice in a practice period or move to some monastery in the mountains, you have a chance to see the moon for a long time. But he's also talking about seshin and sustained practice. So for 3 days, and some of us have just joined us today, but during the third day, either way, we have had this opportunity to see the moon for a long time. The moon, in East Asian references, is the round moon, the whole moon, wholeness. We see the moon for a good while as we sustain our practice, as we do intensive practice. Clouds clear. And then we first recognize the sky. It's not that the sky wasn't there before. Spaciousness and openness of reality is where we is. Each of us on our seats. Clouds clear. And we know about the clouds. We all have these clouds of sadness, clouds of regret, clouds of frustration, clouds of difficult challenges that get in the way of our seeing openness, spaciousness, illumination. But when we settle into this serene illumination, at some point, this doesn't mean necessarily permanently, because clouds come and go, but clouds clear and we see the sky. Right in samadhi is prajna. The sixth ancestor says, right in our settling is insight and illumination. Cast loose down the precipice, the moonlight shares itself graciously within the 10,000 beings, within all the grass tips. And then there's this interesting ending to this short Dharma Hall discourse by Dogen. This was in 1251, next to last year of his teaching. Again, cast loose down the precipice, this moonlight, this wholeness, shares itself within the 10,000 grass tips. Even when climbing the bird's path, taking good care of yourself in spiritual power. So we don't, you know, try to take care and fix all the world or everything that's going wrong in the world or in our life or in, you know, our relationships or whatever. We also take good care of ourselves because we're not separate from everything happening in the world, everything happening in our lives. Our lives are not separate from the wholeness. But he says, even when climbing up the bird's back. So this is, this Soto tradition that we practice here, and reading Hongzhe and Dogen, and referencing Suzuki Roshi who brought it to California. And now here we are in Chicago, and it was, went back to China and Gongshan. Gongshan talked about the bird's path. And we've been blessed this session with birds singing all around our Lincoln Square Center, giving us beautiful colors of sound. But we don't know. I mean, there are theories about how birds know that where to migrate. You know, that for some birds migrate for thousands of miles and the same path as last year and last century. And, you know, it's, we can't see the bird's path. We see jet trails when the airplane birds fly over. We don't know. We can't, our path as human beings, as particular examples of this wholeness. We don't know. We may have ideas and expectations, but nothing ever happens exactly according to our expectation. This isn't the talk I had expected to give. I mean, I had some notes, but this is, we're alive. We're alive. Each one of us is alive. The world is alive. Mountains are alive. They shift over time. It's a larger lifespan than we are used to seeing. Anyway, all of that. And Omshan says, and Dogen says, taking good care of yourself, spiritual power. So, as I started out by saying, we're not practicing just for ourselves. This is not a self-help practice. And we need to take good care of ourselves for the sake of doing the bodhisattva work of seeing how we're not separate from all being. How we don't ignore all beings. So that's a little bit of Dogen. Since we've done this practice period on Hongzhe and cultivating the empty field, I'll close with a selection from Hongzhe. From cultivating the empty field. This is the selection, the Dharma Hall discourse that I, the Dharma words, the practice instruction from Hongzhe that I called positive and appropriate activity. So I'll read a little bit of this in closing. Expansive and inherently spiritual, refined and inherently bright, awakened mind can permeate universally without grasping some merit of its illumination, and can apprehend without being bound by the discourse of thinking. Of course, as human beings with human consciousness, we do have discursive thinking, and we can use it to benefit all beings. And even in this very settled session, on the third day, I dare say that some of you have had some discursive thinking during this session. We don't have to be caught by it. Emerging from manifestations of existence and non-existence, surpassing the emotions of deliberation and discussion, not getting rid of deliberation and discussion, but going beyond, merely interact positively and appropriately without dependence on others, with mutuality in others. All Buddhas, all ancestors, all leaves and all flowers, including the beautiful flowers out there, this wonderful garden we have out there, they all relate in this manner. When responding, they do not grasp the forms. They are illuminating, they do not attach to conditions. We all are conditioned beings, and yet we don't have to get caught. And we do get caught, and then we can let go. And then they get caught again, and then we let go. Then, Hongzhe says, they can stay wide open and unhampered. Only this family wind, this intimate awareness, appears complete everywhere. Let yourself accept. So, this is all around you. This is on your seat, wherever you are. This is how he is. How can we accept it? And sometimes that's difficult, but we save all living beings, which means all thoughts and feelings of ourselves and others, and we remove suffering and provide joy. So, thank you for all the joy of this session. So for those of us who are in this session, and for all of you who have been formerly part of this practice commitment period, we will have a question ceremony this afternoon, Shosan ceremony, where you will each have the opportunity to ask a question or just make a statement, to say something for all of us about practice and our practice questions. But since we are joined by a few people who are not in the session or not in the practice period, we can have very brief time for comments and responses. So anyone online who can help me with that, or here, brief comments or responses. And if there aren't any, Asian. But you're welcome to come to the Shosan ceremony, Asian. But go ahead.
Well, I have a different question for the Shosan ceremony, but this one is related.
Oh my gosh!
To what you were talking about. You know, I've heard you say, or Hongzhe say many times, that when we sit upright and awaken, the world awakens. And today though I was thinking about that old rhetorical question: if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound? And I was wondering if those two things are related. I know the answer to the tree falling in the forest is, the tree maybe makes a vibration, but it takes someone hearing it to interpret it as sound. And I wonder if it's similar for sitting and the world awakening.
It's similar. It's exactly not separate at all. But when the tree falls in the forest, now we know, thanks to modern science, and of course, ancient Buddhas and ancestors said similar things, that does make a sound, and all the other trees hear it. So we know, thanks to science, that in forests there are mycorrhizal networks of fungus underneath the forest, and when one tree falls, other trees hear it. Trees share warnings about things happening with other trees, or even of different species of trees, and trees share nutrition with other trees. So, good question. When a tree falls in the forest, all the trees hear it. When a tree blooms or brings out its leaves in the forest, the whole forest is joyful. So thank you for the question. And thank you all for hearing the trees in Lincoln Square or wherever you are. So, again, for people in the practice period, you're welcome to come online this afternoon. The time is the Shosan ceremony. David is going to be asking me.
3:10.
3:10. So come around 3 o'clock online if you're in the practice period, and you can participate in the Shosan ceremony. And anyway, thank you all. Please enjoy the day. Please enjoy your life. Please graciously share yourself. Please feel what you feel. So we'll close with the Bodhisattva vows, and then we'll have some brief announcements.
Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. The karma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.